We're in the second week of our four-part series, thinking about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. 4 weeks, thinking about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And I said last week, following Jesus impacts eternity and everything else. And we thought last week that if we're Christians, my hope really in many ways is that this series will refresh our hearts and minds with what it means for us to be disciples. But there was this sense in which I hope this series might unsettle some of us, just get us feeling a little bit unsettled, either because we've been calling ourselves Christians for years and years, but this series might in fact show that we're not really Christians. We should stop calling ourselves Christians, perhaps. It might be unsettling, or it might be unsettling because we are followers of Jesus, but this series just begins to show that maybe we're not living like followers of Jesus should. In some sense, if one or two people after this series decided that they would stop ticking the box that says Christian on a survey, that might be a really good thing. That might be a really good place from which those people can start to think, what does it mean for me to actually follow Jesus and be a Christian? Last week we saw this, I hope. We saw that Jesus is the King, come to suffer and save. And if you believe that about Jesus, you can rejoice. You are a saved sinner. You can be sure of eternal hope, glorious resurrection life. You can be confident that when you die, you will meet Jesus and he will smile and welcome you, if you believe that about him. That sense of Jesus following him, impacting eternal things, is here because Jesus has come to save. But if you are a follower of Jesus, it should, will, in fact must, impact every area of your life. Every area. Nothing is off limits. And so this morning we're going to see what it looks like to live like a disciple of Jesus. What it means to be his follower. What it means for our lives as we say we're followers of Jesus. This is going to show us this morning what it means, what it should look like. Jill's going to come and read for us. From page 1039, Luke chapter 9, verse 18 to 27, starting at the top on the right-hand side. As we read, perhaps you could be thinking, Jesus is speaking to me this morning. What is he telling me it means to be a disciple? What is Jesus telling me this morning it means to be a disciple? Jill, thanks so much. Chapter 9, 18 to 27.
Once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do crowds say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks, Jill. Thanks for reading. I wonder, as Jesus was speaking to us in these verses, what you noticed he's saying it means to be a disciple. Have a look again at verse 23. "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." To really call yourself a Christian, Jesus says you have to deny yourself. He says you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him, and give him your life, which means losing your life now, but saving it for all eternity. I hope we'll see this morning, that being a disciple means giving Jesus your all. As Dami said, it's not a bit for Jesus and I'll keep a bit for me. It's all or nothing following Jesus. And now, disciple isn't a very familiar word to us, perhaps. Maybe it's a familiar word, but we don't necessarily have familiarity with what it really means. And in Jewish history, rabbis, the religious leaders and teachers of the day, would have had disciples, and they would have been people who they allowed to follow them. But it wasn't just tagging along for a ride. A rabbi's followers went everywhere with them 24/7. The idea was that you followed after them. So if it was Veman was a rabbi, stand up for a second. Veman is a rabbi, and I become his disciple. Everywhere he goes, I go. Veman shows me what it means to be a rabbi. He teaches me his ways. I eat where he eats, sleep where he sleeps, go where he goes, listen to everything that he says. Veman turns left, I turn left. Veman goes to Galilee, we go to Galilee. We follow behind. Thank you, Veman. Thank you. That is the sense of what it means to be a disciple, to commit to following someone in all of life. I think the most familiar thing probably to us nowadays is the idea of an apprenticeship. I know a few of you did apprenticeships. Maybe you can relate, but when my friends did apprenticeships, I don't know if it's like this anymore, when my friends did apprenticeships, they were picked up outside their house at 6 o'clock in the morning and dropped home again at about 7. And for the first few months, they basically just watched. They just watched. Maybe they passed the odd tool. They just watched and watched and watched to learn and learn and learn. My friends also did some study on a Friday at college, and slowly they gathered the skills to be a carpenter or a plumber or whatever it was. And if you watched these friends of mine over those few years while they were doing their apprenticeship, you basically watched them pick up all the mannerisms of their boss, all the techniques from their boss, good ones and dodgy ones, all the bad habits of their boss. You're supposed to put 3 nails in there, but I just put 2 in because it's a bit cheaper over time. They become like their boss. They follow them. They watch them closely. And I think that's about as close as we get to nowadays to that kind of idea of being a disciple of someone. And to be a disciple of Jesus is to be learning from him in a similar way, learning from him and learning to be like him in all of life. His disciples would have followed him around, slept where he slept, ate where he ate, listened to his teaching, then passed it on. Have a look at verse 18 again. In Luke chapter 9, I don't know if you notice something strange about verse 18. This is what I noticed that's strange. Once when Jesus was praying in private, when I pray in private, none of you are there. I am on my own. Jesus prays in private. Once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him. Well, he's praying in private. What are they doing? They're his disciples, so even when he's praying in private, they are there with him, learning from him, seeing what his life looks like. Turn back a couple of pages to Luke chapter 5 with me. Because being a disciple, it was an all-the-time thing, an everywhere thing, and a leaving everything else behind kind of thing. You remember perhaps when Jesus called his first disciples? Have a look at Luke chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. Under the heading, Jesus calls Levi. Verse 27, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me. Become my disciple, Jesus is saying. Jesus said to him, and what does Levi do? Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. If you walked up to Levi's tax collector booth that afternoon, there's nobody there. It's empty. There isn't even a sign that says back in 5 minutes or closed for the summer. You wouldn't even get his out of office response. Levi's just gone. It's like he's vanished. Levi got up at the call of Jesus, left his job and followed. Perhaps you can remember when Jesus called Simon Peter and Andrew. They're throwing their nets into Lake Galilee, and Jesus comes along and says, "Come, follow me." And we read, "At once they left their nets and followed him." No sense of them saying, "Hang on a minute, we'll be there in five, just let us bring our nets back in and put them up neatly so that we can get them tomorrow." None of that. They just drop their nets and go. And then Jesus calls James and John, and we're told that they're in a boat with their dad getting the nets ready for a long day on the lake. And Jesus calls them, and we read, "Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." "Sons, where are you going?" Zebedee says. Well, Jesus has called us. Jesus says, "Follow." Jesus, we're going. They leave everything. They leave their careers, their families. They're all in. And these men, for 3 years, they go where Jesus goes. They do what he does. They listen to every word that comes from his mouth. And that is why they're so gutted when he dies. They think it's all been a waste. But it's also why, when he rises, they're absolutely transformed into these apostolic preachers who plant church after church after church. And most of them then are willing to be persecuted to the point of death for saying, "Jesus is the king that you need to trust." Now, for them, being disciples really did mean giving Jesus their all, their whole life, and he even died for him. That's the idea of this disciple thing. This apprenticeship with Jesus. Perhaps the idea, the image of a steering wheel is helpful as well. Think of your life as a car. You are the driver. You get to go wherever you like, at what speed you like, wherever you like, whenever you like. But following Jesus means handing over the keys and moving into the passenger seat and allowing Jesus to take the wheel so that he makes the calls about where to go and at what speed and when. Being a disciple means giving Jesus your all. And do you notice in verse 23, it's an invitation that is open to everyone. Chapter 9, verse 23, an invitation that's open to everyone. Whoever wants to be my disciple. Whoever, is that you? Whoever wants to be my disciple is open to everyone. I don't know if you picked up that Oasis were doing a tour and are selling a lot of tickets, but sold out. As far as I understand, they've sold out. Jesus has no maximum number of tickets. Whoever wants to follow Jesus is welcome to. But do you notice it isn't a call to only special Christians or top-tier Christians? This isn't a call to pastors and elders and people who want to take their faith really seriously. It is whoever wants to be my disciple. And so Jesus' call this morning to give our all to him is a call to everyone who wants to follow him. It's not an optional extra. If you want to be a disciple, if you want to be able to tick the Christian box, this morning is for you. And Jesus doesn't say whoever wants to be my disciple could, or whoever wants to be my disciple might like to, or whoever wants to be my disciple, well, it would be good if you kind of... He doesn't even say, well, whoever wants to be my disciple should. Notice again what he says. Whoever wants to be my disciple must. Must. No wiggle room here. That means you can't follow Jesus. You can't be a disciple of Jesus. You can't call yourself a Christian and think, this isn't for me. Now, we can't say I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those serious ones. It is, as Dami said, all or nothing. We can't ever think, I'm a Christian, but it's not really a big part of my life. It's kind of a hobby, kind of an interest. No, whoever we are, being a disciple means giving Jesus our all. And in these verses, Jesus uses three ideas to unpack it for us. Verse 23, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. The call to following Jesus is a call to self-denial. They must deny themselves. And this is completely in the face of everything that culture says at the moment. Do what feels good in your heart. Do what feels right to you. Follow your dreams. Be who you are. Jesus says, if you come after me, you need to deny yourself. It might mean abandoning our own ambitions. It might well mean binning some of our best ideas because they don't fit with what Jesus says. It might mean dispensing with some of our dreams so that instead we can go where Jesus leads. If we follow Jesus, there will be times we want to go left, but Jesus says, no, we need to go right. Perhaps a career opportunity will come up. It will mean more progression, more prestige, more money. You want it. But you know it will also mean more pressure, more stress, more time, more energy, less space for family life and less time for church involvement. And so as you follow Jesus, denying yourself might well mean refusing promotion, embracing the hit to your pride, and instead persisting in your current role so that you can love your spouse, friends, and church family well. A friend of ours has inspired us in many ways, but particularly in one way when it comes to their discipleship and denying themselves. A few years ago, our friend, after much heart-searching, accepted that he was attracted to other men. That was a desire that he had within himself. As he chatted to others and thought it through, there were two loud voices calling to him. The voice of the world and the culture around him, be who you are, embrace who you are, allow your desires to determine what you do. Friends from his work suggested various apps he could use to find like-minded men to date. Family members celebrated that he had admitted what they had always suspected, and they encouraged him to pursue same-sex relationships. But Jesus' voice was also very loud to our friend. As a Christian, he was persuaded by the Bible that Jesus said marriage and sex was designed for one man and one woman, and that same-sex relationships weren't appropriate for Christians. For our friend, this verse has been so helpful. As he feels desire for sinful relationships, he hears Jesus encourage him, "Come, follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross." And because Jesus' voice is so precious to our friend, because our friend knows of the hope of eternal life if he follows Jesus, he seeks to listen carefully to Jesus. And that, day by day, means denying his desires. It's costly for him to follow Jesus. People mock him, family members mock him for following Jesus. I wonder if you can relate in any way to our friend's struggle. There are things that you long for, desires that you have that you long to fulfill, but you know God's word says those things are sinful or inappropriate for Christians. And perhaps you've been denying yourself because you follow Jesus. Well done. Jesus sees, even if no one else does. And he smiles upon you and rejoices at your obedience to him, despite the cost. Now, maybe it's not such a felt thing for all of us, but there will be innumerable ways in which we all, as Christians, need to be denying ourselves if we're going to follow Jesus. Saying no to what we want, because Jesus is in the driving seat. Whoever wants to be my disciple, Jesus says, must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. The Romans, maybe this is very familiar, the Romans made those who were putting to death carry their own cross to their execution. It added to the suffering and the humiliation. And as Jesus carried his cross to his death, people spat and pointed and laughed. And Jesus' invitation to follow him includes the call to embrace that image for us every day. With Jesus in our minds, as he carries his cross up the hill and is mocked, every morning we get up, we pick up our cross, we follow him. We embrace suffering and shame for the sake of our Saviour. As I follow Jesus, I take up my cross by speaking of him, even when it's awkward and people laugh. I take up my cross as I live according to Jesus' words, like my friend, even when people hate me and mock me. I wonder in what ways you have had to embrace shame and suffering for following Jesus. As you've embraced shame and suffering for following Jesus, that is you taking up your cross. Well done. Jesus sees. He rejoices at your obedience to this command. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus isn't calling his followers to do anything that he hasn't already done. We're invited to follow him down the path he has already trodden. As you follow Jesus, you walk in his footsteps. As we deny ourselves, we can think of Jesus as he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." We deny ourselves like him, and then we take up our cross like he did. I didn't notice it for ages, but this is the third must in two verses. The third must in two verses. The other two come up in verse 22. And Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." He must suffer and be rejected. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And we, if we're going to follow him, must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. And Jesus here is simply calling us, his disciples, to follow where he has already gone. To suffer, to face rejection, and to give up our lives. But notice where Jesus' path ends. End of verse 22. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus' path of suffering and shame and death ends in being raised to life. And that is the same path that disciples take too. Last week on Connect, we used this image of a Nike tick as we considered what it meant to follow Jesus. Jesus' path was from glory in heaven with his Father for all eternity, and enjoying that beauty and goodness and comfort. And yet he comes down at Christmas, born as a baby, and then goes down further into death himself, to the grave, from glory to the grave, for sinners. Jesus is the King, come to suffer and save. And then he's raised to life and seated at the right hand of the Father. And that is Jesus' pathway, Jesus' pattern. And as followers of Jesus, as disciples, our pattern is the same pattern. As we follow after him as his apprentices, we simply walk his footsteps down the well-trodden path to eternal life with our good God forever. The rest of our verses pick up on this idea of being saved for all eternity. Verse 24, whoever wants to keep hold of the steering wheel of their life will ultimately lose their life for all eternity. But whoever is willing to give the steering wheel over to Jesus will save their life for all eternity. And then we get this question in verse 25, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Answer, it's no good to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul. Then verse 26 warns against the dangers of ignoring Jesus and his words, the dangers of being ashamed of him. If we're ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us when he returns to judge. If we say Jesus is an embarrassment, I don't want to follow him, we're saying we don't want him as our Savior, and so we won't have him as our Savior when he comes to judge. So this morning, if we're following Jesus, I take it there are many ways, if we're really following Jesus, there are many ways we're going to need to ask for God's help and his forgiveness. As I look at my life, I see ways in which I should deny myself as I follow Jesus, but actually I want that, so I take it and I have it. I see many ways in which I should take up my cross as I follow Jesus, and actually it's uncomfortable, so I don't. And so as I follow Jesus, I need to ask his help and forgiveness. Perhaps you do too. And as we reflect on being disciples of Jesus, it's going to be wise and hopefully helpful for us to just examine our lives and ourselves and ask ourselves, in what ways do I need to deny myself as I follow Jesus? In what ways might I need to embrace his call to take up my cross daily? In what ways do I need to be prepared to suffer for him? It might be that you called yourself a Christian for years because you grew up going to church, or you were christened as a child, but perhaps you're seeing today that it just doesn't really impact your life in this kind of way. Why not use this morning to evaluate? Can you see ways in which you deny yourself and take up your cross as you call yourself a Christian? If not, it is possible that you're not one. That's okay. Today is a great day to commit to following Jesus truly. It's also possible that you hear this call of Jesus and you think, oh, I can't see ways in which I deny myself or take up my cross. And actually, you need somebody to just tell you, no, you do. You really do. We all see it. You follow Jesus. You deny yourself. He's rejoicing over you. If you think you're a follower of Jesus, but you can't see ways in which you deny yourself and take up your cross, I would love to talk to you and help you think about that. Maybe you just don't see the ways in which you follow Jesus really well. It's also possible that you just feel weary of following Jesus. You deny yourself, you take up your cross, and you feel weary. It's hard. It's costly following Jesus. Tempted to give up. Friends, remember who he is. He's the king. You're serving the king as you deny yourself and take up your cross. Keep going. It's so worth it as we think about the prospect of eternal life with our good God forever. Being a disciple means giving Jesus your all. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you that Jesus is so honest with us. Thank you that he's full of grace, full of forgiveness for all our weakness and failing. Full of kindness to help us follow him. We pray for your help. That those of us who are disciples of Jesus want to be faithful, want to be all in, want to be good at following Jesus. And yet we fall and we fail. And so we pray for your help. Strengthen us. Those who are particularly weary of following Jesus, Father, please remind them of who he is. Remind them of all that he's done. Remind them of the future on offer. Would you help us to see that following your son is so worthwhile? Help us to count the cost. Help us to see him and rejoice. We pray in his name. Amen.